saw her during the song, right? She was doing the palm branches. But if you watch Tim Hawkins, it's wash the windows. All right, kids, come on down. All right. Take one of those. Take one of those. No, get back in your seat. Here, you take one of those. You take one of those. Here, Matthew, come here, get one of these. Okay, so what did I give you? A pretzel. It's a gluten-free pretzel because, well, I was favoring my daughter and she's not here. But anyways, I gave you this pretzel because a long time ago in the country of Germany, you guys know where Germany is? It's a long ways away. So in Germany, the Christian families would not eat eggs or drink milk during the season of Lent. We're in the season of Lent right now. It's the time before Easter. And so they wouldn't eat eggs or drink milk. So instead of eating bread, because bread has milk and eggs in it, they ate pretzels. Now, these aren't designed the way that they originally did it, okay? Because the original pretzels would also have, you guys ever seen the pretzels where it comes over the end here? You know, and there's little pieces sticking off the end? Well, they would originally design these pretzels to have a cross in the middle. And that was to represent Jesus Christ. And they discovered that because they folded their arms and you end up with a cross. And so in a pretzel that's done the proper way, not like these cheaters, you would be able to see a cross in the pretzel. Now, you guys know what this Friday is? It's coming up. Good Friday. So Good Friday is the day we remember the cross. Good Friday is the day that Jesus went to that cross so that he could die and take our sins away. And our passage is out of Romans chapter 5. It says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." So on Good Friday, we remember the cross in all sorts of ways. There'll be some preachers out there that are preaching about how horrible it was for Jesus and the pain and suffering he went through. And some will be talking about all the symbolism and all the things that go into all that stuff. But you know, the weird thing is that eating some pretzels on Good Friday can be a reminder. You know what? I found one guy said, you could even take some pretzels and make yourself a pretzel necklace. Then you wear the pretzel necklace to school. And then kids ask you, why are you wearing a pretzel necklace? You go, well, one, I need to snack during the day. But two, did you know that the pretzel represents Jesus? By just wearing something simple like that, you can tell them about what happened on Good Friday. And so this week, as you take the pretzels, you get to keep them. I don't want them back because your grimy hands are all over them. Your kids, you're grimy. I want you to think about the pretzel's message. And think about how Jesus died on that cross and he did it just for you. Yep. All right, and all God's people said, hey, you want to take this for Miss Diane, too? You guys can have it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading Luke 19, 41 through 44. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Dear Lord, bless the Pastor Todd today as he preaches the word. Bless the people here today as they hear your words for them.
You ready, Lane? Hail to the victors. Well, only one Michigan school made it to the Final Four. Should see me at home. And I got to say that, well, they took it down, but did you guys notice we got the fancy background going? It's moving, huh? So, good job. I like that one. All right, so Palm Sunday. The kickoff to what is referred to as Holy Week. The week where you are expected to be perfect for the next 7 days. Oh, that's not what that is? Oh. Holy Week, called that because it leads up to what our Savior did. And Palm Sunday, called that because of the palm branches that were used. Now, in ancient times, maybe you know, maybe you don't, palm branches symbolized goodness, they symbolized well-being, and they symbolized victory. Oftentimes, you will find palm branches on coins. Important buildings. King Solomon had palm branches put on the temple. And so the people were using the palm branches to celebrate the coming of their victory over the Romans through the Messiah as he came into Jerusalem. A little different than what happened, wasn't it? Because they were celebrating because here he comes. There were hundreds and hundreds who believed Jesus was the Messiah, but that he was the Messiah that was going to come in, defeat the Romans, kick them out of Israel, and bring in the new age. But Jesus had a bigger foe he was going to vanquish. And his entry is fulfilling Daniel's prophecy out of Daniel chapter 9. Of 483 years earlier. Almost 500 years, and Jesus fulfills this prophecy. And here's the thing I want you to think about. This is all we're going to talk about on this part. Jesus didn't set it up. This was a spontaneous celebration. It was not the disciples went out and gathered hundreds of people and said, hey, here's what we're going to do. You're going to take your cloaks off. We're going to get all these palm branches, and we're going to wave them, and we're going to sing Hosanna when Jesus comes in. Okay, got it? Now, ready? One, two, three, go. That's not what happened. So the prophecy gets fulfilled by happenstance. It's a quinky-dink. Palm Sunday is an event that is recorded by all four gospel writers. Now let's get our setting before we get into this. We're about 5 days before Passover. Jesus and his disciples are on their way into Jerusalem from Bethany. And Passover itself is one of the most important feasts of the year. In fact, on the calendar, it was one of the three feasts that all Jewish men were expected to be in Jerusalem for. And so because of that, Jerusalem is flooded with what they estimate to be about 300,000 pilgrims. Now, Jerusalem is not a big city. And so they have 300,000 new people. And most of those people stayed, which is why Pentecost was such a big deal and they could reach so many people, because most of them stayed for the next festival, which came just a few weeks later. And so Jesus is on that donkey and he's coming into Jerusalem. Now that's all I'm going to talk about for Palm Sunday, because we're going to go past that part. We're going to go deeper into what's going on here in this passage. You'll notice that the passage itself was after Palm Sunday, the celebration that we think of. So if you go back the few verses before our passage this morning, you'll read of Jesus coming in and them singing Hosanna, and them Jesus saying, hey, even if you were quiet, the stones would cry out. We're going after that. Because all of you have heard all the messages about Palm Sunday and what the palms mean and all of the symbolism and everything that went behind it, the scriptures and the prophecies. But I want to get into the tears. Because there were tears on Palm Sunday. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Do you guys remember last week we talked about his emotional health? And one of the things of emotional health was that you would have the proper emotions at proper times, such as weeping at the appropriate time. Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem. And in the midst of his weeping, I think we get a couple of very important lessons that we'll get to here in just a minute. There are so many things that are superficial in this world that we get caught up in. And I'd be the first to stand here and tell you I am guilty of that on different fronts. My wife gives me a hard time because I'm the guy with the latest, greatest cell phones. A lot of it is practical for my work, but I'm that guy, and I come home and she's like, you got another phone? Well, this, you know, when you get the latest, greatest cell phones, they give you free stuff. So I'm just saying, you see my fancy watch, that was free. Well, not, I paid for the phone, so. But it was a gift. How many of us get up caught up in those things? Cars, TVs, phones, decorations, retirement, savings accounts, jobs. Well, basketball's a little different, okay. Don't get carried away. I mean, who wouldn't want to watch 12 hours of basketball? But all of those things, how many people is that what they see? People in the world see those things. They see the things they can touch and talk to and smell and look at and interact with. That's what they get occupied with. But it's all superficial. And Jesus, as this whole celebration is going on around him, and he is looking upon beautiful Jerusalem, he saw beyond that. He saw below that. Because Jesus always sees beyond all of the superficial stuff. He sees beyond all the covers of the world. He's able to look below the surface and see what really matters. And as he looks at Jerusalem and he looks below the surface, what he sees makes him weep. Now that's something to make the God of the universe cry. And so he sees beyond it. He sees what is going to happen. He sees the heart of the city. He sees the heart of the people. Wasn't that the thing that Jesus changed? Sin wasn't just your action anymore. It was about your desire for the action. That's what made people angry. Man, you mean I can't actually even think it anymore? He sees beyond it. And he sees that Jerusalem is going to miss the most important event in history. Now, our first lesson's right here. He sees beyond the outward in the church. He sees beyond the outward in your life. Revelation 2:2 says that he sees our works. But here's the thing. He's not talking about the works that the other people see. He's talking about the works that he sees within your heart. What is your desire behind that work? Why are you going on that mission trip? Why do you go work at Carriage Town? Are you doing it because you want other people to think you look good? Are you doing it because you want to make yourself feel better? Are you doing it because you want to praise God and bring glory to him? He sees beyond that and sees our works. He sees what everyone else doesn't see in us. And you don't have to raise your hands on this. I will, because I'm an honest person. How many of you think you ever hide your sin from God? Well, he didn't see that. I mean, he can't tell. He sees beyond what everyone else sees. He sees the sin that no one sees that's going on behind that smile. He sees the pain that no one sees. He sees the tears that you cry into your pillow. He sees all of it. He sees below it. He knows what's causing it all. He knows what's going to fix it all. And he knows it not just because he is the God of the universe, but because he cares. He wept over what he saw in Jerusalem because his primary concern was not really what was even going to happen to him. His primary concern was their sin, was their decision to turn away from him, their decision to miss what was happening. Because Jesus knew as he came in that they were going to ignore the opportunity that was being presented before them. Now, we're not going to get into the theological aspect of how they needed to ignore it. Because if Jesus doesn't die on the cross, then we're not forgiven. But he is still, do you get the care? He's still weeping over it, you guys. He's not weeping over what's happening to himself. He's known for eternity that this was coming. He's weeping over what they are missing. And he weeps over us. He weeps over our sin. He weeps over our pain with us. Because what we sometimes forget, we remember it as parents. Right? We remember as parents that when our kids make that wrong choice, you feel the pain. It hurts you. Oh, if you'd have just listened. Oh, if you'd have just gotten the lesson from my mistake, you wouldn't have had to make the same one. You'd have just made the better choice. Sin causes pain. Every act of disobedience causes pain. Even when we think we get away with it, it causes pain. And we didn't actually get away with it because, well, there just has to be a God that knows everything, right? And he weeps over that pain. And that he went to that cross because of that. But he wants to help us overcome it. So here's the thing. He's not just going to weep over it. He's going to come alongside. And he wants to say, here, I know you failed, but I love you, and I want to help you overcome it. Now, he has lots of different ways he does that stuff. And that's up to him. But even when you think he's not there, he's there. Can't help but be thinking about it. We have just started getting Jordan into Chronicles of Narnia. And so last night we watched Prince Caspian. And the whole struggle in that movie is especially Peter dealing with pride and doing it on his own. Well, Aslan isn't here, so I have to do it. We have to do it. He's not coming. Even when you think he's not there, he's there. He knows what's going on. And even when we think his timing is off, his timing is always perfect. I know nobody has ever thought, Jesus, you missed the timing on that one, okay? I had a better schedule. His timing is always perfect. Now, Jesus knew. He knew, and his weeping is coming because he knew that if Jerusalem truly knew what was happening, things would be different. If they really knew who was coming in on that donkey, if they truly believed who he was, it would be different. Oh, can you picture it? The city would have been the city of blessing that it was supposed to be. Jerusalem and the nation of Israel was supposed to be the nation that shined God to the rest of the world. That was the purpose. That's why he chose Israel, a tiny, pathetic little nation, so that who gets all the glory? God does. Not because they have an F-35B squadron, but because God is there. They could have been a city of blessing, sharing Christ's hope, the message that comes through him. But instead, he weeps because he gets on to verse 42. You could have had peace. And then in 43, it's going to be a city of war. It's going to be a city of grief. It is that to this day. Jerusalem is not a city of peace. It is war and struggle and strife and grief and pain and tension. And Jesus knew it. Verse 43, before long your enemies will build ramparts against you and encircle you and close you in on you from every side. Here's the painful part, verse 44, they will crush you into the ground. Jesus is weeping over what's being missed here. Guys, you're going to be destroyed. Isn't that what sin does to us? Sin destroys our lives. It destroys our relationships. It destroys our connection with God. Have you ever looked back at a decision and said, if only I'd known? If only I'd known what might have been. Maybe you played the whole thing out in your mind. If only I'd known, A, then B wouldn't have happened because I would have gone to C. Right? We've all been there. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you still struggle with it. And those words can be some of the saddest words that we utter in our life. But what if? What if? What if? If I had only known. But God knows what we can achieve no matter what happened in our lives. Aslan showed up in the movie. He was there all along. Don't underestimate him. Don't underestimate his ability. Don't think that you're doing this on your own. He knows your potential. He knows what he wants to do with you. He knows the works he wants to accomplish through you. You think Moses felt worthy of it? Moses didn't feel worthy of it when he died decades later. Maybe you feel like you've blown it. Maybe you feel like you've messed it up beyond repair. Maybe you think you've done something that can't possibly be redeemed. But here is your encouragement today. God is the God of the universe. He created it. He made it. He can do whatever he wants, and he can do whatever he wants with you. And he is the great redeemer. He can overcome anything. There is nothing that you have done in your life that he can't conquer. Not a thing. If you think you've blown it and messed it up, so what? Tell him, you know what, Lord? I messed up. I need you to fix it. He is faithful. Little warning, though, he may not fix it the way you want him to. Just throwing that out there. Be ready. You know, because I look back at my life and I think about being a freshman and sophomore at Taylor University, and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to go with my life. What am I going to do? And they're telling me, you better pick a major, otherwise we're going to kick you out. Dad says, you better pick a major, otherwise I'm going to kick you out, because I ain't paying this money for you to just sit there. And all I knew was that I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. And there's this part of me saying, be a pastor, be a pastor, be a pastor. And then there's a louder part of me saying, you don't want to do that, you don't want to do that, you don't want to do that. And so I picked teaching. I still ended up being a pastor. I mean, so my answer is, go ahead and tell God you ain't going to do it. See how that works out for you. But you know what? What I've discovered over time is that if you're truly seeking him, even when you make A and you should have said B, God is big enough to bring you back to it. He will get you to where you're supposed to be. You didn't make a decision that he didn't know you were going to make. It wasn't like he looked down, whoa, Todd, you shocked me with that one. I didn't see that coming. No, he saw it. Because time is just this little box in front of him, and he's going, yep, there it is. Because a great future with God beats whatever our past is every time. No matter what happened, no matter when you made the wrong choice, your great future with him is going to beat that every time. And the best part is, when you're telling your story, did you catch what he was saying? His story wasn't about him in the song. The story was about people seeing Jesus through his story. And so when you tell your story, people are going to see God in it. They're going to see hope. Every single one of our futures are to have something important. If you are breathing, you have a job. You want to know when your job, your work for God is done? When you are dead. Got it? If you are breathing, he has work for you. See, because the part that really made Jesus grieve over Jerusalem was what they were missing. They weren't following him. They were missing the salvation and hope they were going to get through Christ. And our future is to share our story with that hope. To share that with the people around us. Because in verse 42, what did he say? How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. He's not talking about war. Jesus wasn't talking about fights. Dan and I got to have a nice discussion this morning about how to beat people up. Talking about the different way our arts, you know, break the knees and stuff like that. But see, Christ isn't talking about that peace in verse 42. That is a different peace. That is your eternal peace. The peace that passes all understanding. If you have ever lost a loved one close to you, you know exactly what that peace is. Because only those that follow Jesus Christ know that peace. That's an awesome peace. And that peace is available to all. No matter how much pain we have gone through, no matter how much pain maybe we've caused through our sin, He wants to give you peace over that. When Jesus says, you are forgiven, you are forgiven. It is washed away forever. You know the saying, as far as the east is from the... You go ahead, start running east and see if you catch up to west. He will give you peace. And He wants to bring that peace to others. He wants to bring the peace to those that are around us. Because with that peace, our tears turn to joy. Now, to be able to do that, we first have to believe that what Christ did at Easter during this week is the truth. If you don't truly believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross on Friday, if you don't truly believe that on Sunday morning the women showed up and that tomb was empty, if you don't truly believe that what He did was there to save you and to wash those sins away, then you won't have that peace. You ask Him, Lord, I know You did that for me. And I ask You to forgive me of those, and I want You to wash them away as far as the east is from the west. And you know what? When He does that, I don't know how He does it because, well, it's way beyond me because He's God. Because I remember my sins. But He doesn't. That should baffle and amaze us at the same time. Because the God of the universe who knows everything, when He forgives you, He forgets. When you say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that sin that I apologized 17 times for, you guys know what I'm talking about. He goes, what sin? All I see is pure. You've been washed clean. I don't see your sin. And so He asks us when we believe that. He asks for something very simple. To love Him with all that we have. In our mind, our body, and our soul. You know, we watch basketball and tournament time is awesome. And we went Friday night to Breslin because New Haven's boys basketball team was in the semifinals. So they lost. Their only loss of the year was that one. But, you know, as a coach, what did you... I always wanted my teams, you know what? I will accept the outcome if you give everything you have. You always heard it, leave it all on the field, right? Leave it on the floor. If you do your best, you leave it on the floor and you get beat, you are beat by a better team. That's fine. We can accept that. God asked for the same thing. Leave it all out there. I can accept that. And when we leave it all out there and we love Him with all that we have, He then enables us to love others. To love others the way He wants us to love others, because He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, who's your neighbor? Oh, really? It's not just Jack. He's got a tractor. I don't remember who someone in my family asked me the other day. Well, what's the neighbor? Everybody. To love them so that they find the same forgiveness, so that they find the same peace, so that next Sunday when they walk into the church, it's not because they're here so they can be on time for Easter brunch. It's so they can celebrate what He did. Don't forget what Easter is about. It is not about your food. It is not about your family. Ooh, shouldn't have said that. What is it about? It's about Jesus Christ. It ain't about you. It's about what he did for you. And we're to share that with people so that we can love them, making disciples of those around us. And so I want to ask you this Easter to do just that with those people. Those around you that need it, that need to see the peace, that need to know the message, that need the forgiveness, shine that light. If they're coming to your house and you got family members that don't believe, gut up and speak the truth. It may be the only time they hear it. You are probably the only witness they see. Don't miss it. Because all the superficial stuff, whether the ham is done or not, doesn't matter. When you're in heaven 10,000 years from now, do you think God's going to ask you about that ham? Nope. You're going to have better hams there anyways. He's going to ask you, did you share that peace? When we do it, you're going to see amazing things, and you're going to have more stories to share with more people to bring that forgiveness to more around you. Easter is a great opportunity. It's a great season. You got captive audiences. Next week, when you bring your family and friends that are Christers, you know, that show up Christmas and Easter, they're going to hear the same thing. They're going to be preached at. And they're going to hear the gospel. Because they need to know. Then it's up to them. Let's make sure we do our part. That's what Jesus was weeping over. Jerusalem missed it. Let's not miss it. Let's pray. Father, this is an awesome time of year, and there is also a great deal of, I guess, pain and anguish because we remember what our sin caused you, the pain that it caused you, what our decisions cost. But the wonderful part is the joy we can take of the love that you have for us, for what you were going to endure, what you gave up. You know, Lord, I was thinking last night how someday I'm going to be before you and I'm probably going to be on my face. And it's going to be a bajillion million times greater than I can even think it is. Fill me with that awe and wonder so that I can share your hope with those around me so that they don't miss it. Help all of us to take advantage of those opportunities this week as we all spend time with family and friends, that we will be able to be that light, and that as a church we will glorify you in our families and in our workplaces and in this community. And I pray it in Jesus' name.